Thursday is the day we read from your email. And many of you wrote in about the revelations last week concerning abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Joe Silbert of Yonkers, New York, says coverage of the abuse should be put in context. He writes, "It is a mistake to consider the appalling but human behavior of the captors toward their helpless captives an encapsulated aberration born of war, poor training, bad character, faulty supervision, or faulty direction." He points out that there have been instances of police brutality and college hazings here in the United States, and he writes that the broader issue for us is the culture in our homeland that tacitly sanctions these actions in the service of group bonding.
Listener Wendy Milstein writes she was captivated by my story about integration at Parker High School in Birmingham, Alabama, and she offers this consolation to my uncles, whom I interviewed, because they attended the school back in the 1940s. She writes, "I understand how sad it is to return to one's alma mater only to find it deteriorated and chaotic. However, this is not only the result of integration policies that created barren wastelands of many inner-city schools, but of a current culture that encourages a fast track to success based on superficial qualities rather than on intellectual pursuits."
My interview with reporter Robert Draper about his GQ magazine story, "The Child Bush Left Behind," drew a mix of responses. The article told the story of Johnny Demon, a juvenile offender cited by George W. Bush as the kind of person that compassionate conservatism needed to help. Draper tracked down Johnny Demon, writing that the young man has no home, no job, and lives on the run.
Timothy Bogan of Garwood, New Jersey writes, "Your story today about the child Bush left behind was tabloid treatment of a serious issue, and it fell way below your usual journalistic standards."
Mr. Bogan writes, "Despite a disclaimer to the contrary, the moral momentum of the story came from the idea that Bush should have a responsibility toward a child he met for 5 minutes and then later mentioned in an important public speech. Could anyone seriously propose that Bush acquired an obligation to this boy by telling a story about him?" Finally, Melissa Block's interview with country singer Loretta Lynn brought back a bittersweet memory for one listener. Mac Quillian of Stone Mountain, Georgia, writes, "In 1988, I was stationed on board the USS Pittsburgh, deployed in the Mediterranean Sea. Christmas Day found us in Toulon, France. As I lay in my rack feeling sorry for myself, I heard a soft voice come over the ship's announcing system. Loretta Lynn had come to visit us. She never saw me. In fact, most of the men were too depressed to leave their racks. But we heard that beautiful voice with the soft country accent and knew that someone cared that we were a long way from our families at Christmas. Thank you, Mrs. Lynn."
You can send your emails to atc@npr.org. And please tell us how to pronounce your name and the city and state where you're writing from.
Well, a lot of things have changed since way back then. And it's so good to be back. Except the memories of a coal miner's daughter.